Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon, good evening, I should say. a little ahead of myself there. This is Stephen Zimmer, and glad to join you tonight for another episode of the Star Chamber Show live podcast, episode number 267. And I'm probably excited because I saw our first person in the chat room is none other than Tommy B. Smith. Just announced him as a panelist coming to Imaginarium, which is awesome, awesome, awesome. So we're all excited about that. And yes, of course, yeah, he took note of my earlier start there on the show there. But joined tonight by the one, the only, coming hot off her Hollywood role, Holly Phillippe and Daniel Dark.
Hello, hello, hello.
How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man, doing good, and had a very active day. Yeah, between Imaginarium and the press and my early morning writing session, it was pretty much nonstop. I did caught a quick short nap to recharge a little bit for the evening, so I am good to go. But don't worry. But Holly has a little bit to talk about because she just came off a four-day film shoot, and this is a film that was produced by R.G. Westerman. Yes, the one and only R.G. Westerman, our very own, who also just joined us in the chat room along with Sandy Lender. And Holly, tell us about your adventure, because this was your very first speaking role, acting role, as casted in a movie.
An indie film, you wear many hats. So literally, we didn't have any, PAs, production assistants. No, the cast was the PAs, and and most of the crew. So we did a little bit of everything. We ended up filming at the house, and so we had, God, how many people stayed with us for service? We had probably 10 people here. And so right now, I still haven't got my house completely back to normal, but I'm getting there and trying to do laundry and stuff. But yesterday I was exhausted. I'm going to tell you what. We had the best crew and personalities that just melded together, and we pulled off a miracle 40s and got some incredible shots and acting. And yeah, I cannot wait to see the finished product. I really can't. I got to play a mother nun that helps to run this rehabilitation center. It's an Amy McCorkle and Goodman story, and Rebecca Westerman, R.G. Westerman, you all know her. R.G. was the producer, and we had Natalie Hutcherson, we had Matthew Smith on camera, we had Brian, help me with his last name, Steve,
Michaud.
Phenomenal, yeah, actor from Tennessee. Phenomenal. We had Schaefer Tolliver from here in Lex. We had Grace. I'm going to forget Gracie's last name. Oh, that's terrible. I'm a terrible person. Let me see here. Grace Feltner. We had Grace Feltner. And what am I missing here? Wonderful little girl. I can't remember her name right now offhand. Who am I missing that was at the house? Frank Schindel was the director from here in Lexington. Is that it, Steve? Who am I missing?
No, it was great.
Was
I mean,
it?
I I was not involved in the project. I was just, hosting. Of course, we had about half the cast and crew staying at the house, as Holly said, which was interesting. Got to observe quite a bit. And, yeah, Natalie Hutcherson and, Brian Michaud and Schaefer Tolliver and R.G. Westerman and, of course, Grace Feltner and just so many great folks that were involved on the project. Of course, Dewey Matthew Smith, he was like iron on this project. I mean, he had to wear a lot of hats crew side. And, then, of course, Eric Scheidahl directing. And he's a first-time director. So that was his very first project as a director. And so it was really neat to watch the crew gel from my perspective. I was glad I didn't have any pressure, of course.
When you have a crew, we got some shots. We would actually – we teared up. There were some shots we actually teared up because the acting was so good, so emotional. There were shots where it would make the hair stand up on your arms. And I mean, I think all of us actors had at least one of those shots where we would stop then when they call cut and we would just clap and be like, oh, my God, that was gold, man. That was gold. You know, it was incredible. I mean, it really was what we pulled off. We filmed at a church. We filmed, Catherine, why did her name leave me? Ashcraft, Kathleen Ashcraft. She helped us, and we used her house for a few scenes. And then, like I said, we filmed here. We filmed in our backyard because it's a wild, crazy place back there. We needed a park, and I'm like, well, my backyard looks like a forest. There you go. So it actually worked out, and the shots are just phenomenal. So, yeah, it was interesting, but it was cool to get back on a set, not have to worry about masks. Oh, it was so freeing, it was just great, great fun. And when you've got a crew like that, a cast that, as soon as they call cut, can cut up and have fun and laugh and joke around. But then, man, as soon as that camera starts rolling, right back to the character, we're down to business. That's gold. That is gold. And everybody got along. And, it was just a good time. And so it'll show on screen. So I can't wait for y'all to see it. So nobody's listening. Probably about another couple of months, we'll be able to see it.
Once it gets out there, everybody will be listening. Everybody will be watching and listening and doing it all as they see this film. And I do want to mention also Kathleen Ashcraft, because she provided food support for the gang and location and her house. And so, definitely those things come in big on productions like this. And, that's definitely. I mean, everywhere you can get help counts. And it was awesome. And it was just fun to watch the gang in action a little bit. It definitely was cool.
Steven actually went to bed on us one night. He's like, oh, they're crazy. We were wound up. We were tired. Mm-hmm. We didn't get much sleep. And the last big night of filming that we did here, I got mine done. They let me get mine done so I could go to bed because the fibro, I was hurting pretty bad. And so
I
went to bed by
too.
Like,
yeah, it's gone.
Well,
after those days.
So like 11:30 or 12, I was gone, and I didn't hear nothing. Me and Steve slept, and them crazy things went on till like they filmed till 4:30 in the morning, on Monday morning, and then we had to get up and finish at the church on Monday. So they were troopers.
They were.
If anybody needs an amino Trunchable or Aunt Lydia or Amino Nun, I'm your woman.
it was awesome because you could not tell in the took a on-set shot of Holly in costume, and I posted it on my Facebook page, and it got a ton of response. I mean, people thought it was awesome. And the fun thing was, one author summed up great. She's like, she was scrolling through, and she said, what's this nun doing on my feed? Oh, that's Holly. So, if somebody even knew Holly well, didn't even recognize her. That's hilarious. Yeah, it was funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, good stuff.
But
good stuff.
That's when you know you're doing a good job, is when somebody don't know who you are right off, you know? Yeah, I really did fall into the character. It was easy. She was stern, you know, old mother. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it was easy. I could be an old biddy, and I loved it.
No, so you worked hard. You've prepared. I can vouch for this. You prepared every single night leading up to the shoot. And
I did.
So let's get on to our sponsors, and then we're going to move on to our guests. But we want to definitely work our sponsors for tonight in the awesome folks at Jumpmaster Press and then Mary Ann Pohl. So first we'll do an ad from Jumpmaster Press, and then we will recognize Mary Ann Pohl and move on to the next segment here. Here we go.
Do you love to read? Do you love sci-fi and fantasy and horror and mystery and maybe even romance? Then Jumpmaster Press has something for you. Jumpmaster Press would like to give you a 10% discount on our entire catalog. Just go to JumpmasterPress.com and use code IMAGINE2021 at checkout to save 10% on anything in our vast catalog. That's JumpmasterPress.com and IMAGINE2021 at checkout. Jumpmaster Press, a proud sponsor of the Star Chamber Podcast and Imaginarium 2021.
Thank you, Jane and Kyle. You guys are the best. I really appreciate that. And now a little bit about Mary Ann Pohl. An invisible battle is being fought around us. If we listen closely, we can hear swords clashing in the war for human souls. The Iconoclast thriller series is not your typical horror. So if you're looking for blood and guts just for the sake of blood and guts, you won't enjoy these books. But if you are looking for frightful stories in which ordinary individuals must face extraordinary circumstances and the supernatural, look no further. And so look for Mary Ann Pohl, where all good books are sold, and of course at her website, www.maryannpohl.com, MaryAnnPohl.com. And tonight we're also going to give you a little treat. This is the first time we've played this publicly. It's coming on to a YouTube clip for everyone to share shortly. But we actually have, believe it or not, an Imaginarium spot. And I want to give credit to Gene Rowley of Jumpmaster Press for putting this together. But it did come out cool. So I'm going to play this real quick, and then we will move on to our guest.
Attention fans and creators of all genres. The 8th Annual Imaginarium Convention is coming July 9th through 11th to Louisville, Kentucky. Imaginarium features over 100 panels and workshops for writers, filmmakers, cosplayers, game designers, artists, and more. This year, Imaginarium Convention has both virtual and in-person events, including a film festival, an expo hall, entertainment, the Imagine Awards, and much more. Visit www.enterTheImaginarium.com for more information. Enter the Imaginarium.
Just love that.
I love it. Love it. Imaginarium.
Cool.
Mary. I love you, Gene. I love you, Gene Rowley.
Yeah, that was Gene Rowley doing the narration on that, folks. And, yeah, we loved how it turned out.
He's the best.
Figured we'd play it for you all first before it goes public. So there you go, folks. A new Imaginarium spot. Just had a little fun with that. And but, yes, our guest tonight is coming to the Imaginarium Convention. So you can meet our guest in person. And our guest is an author, also is a creative writing instructor and a language teacher, and currently has an animated series for children in production all the way in the Philippines. And our author is currently living in Chile in South America. So I'm glad to bring aboard for the very first time. Welcome aboard. And Holly is ready. Are you ready to go, Holly?
I am. I'm so excited, my buddy.
Yep, we're going to welcome aboard Simon Andre Kledke. Welcome to the Star Chamber show for the very first time. Your mic is live.
Hello, hello.
Thank you, guys. Can you hear me?
There he is.
I can hear you.
Perfect. That's amazing. I mean, I was a little bit concerned. I mean, you know,
great.
Sometimes if you're doing something the first time, sometimes it sucks.
Oh, we know. Believe me, we know.
So guys, I'm just glad to be here and that it worked, and well, thank you for the opportunity. I'm just glad.
Oh, it's great. And I've been listening to you every day because I know Holly and you have been talking about plans for Imaginarium. And so I know you all exchange voice chats on Facebook. So I've heard your voice a lot. So I'm used to it.
Nice. Did you like my voice or didn't you?
Very
did you
much
like
so. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think I have a special relationship with Holly because we're talking every day. It's like a relationship, man.
It is. That's what I said. We're good friends now, you know, and I just can't wait till you get here, you know, and we can hang out a little bit, you know, before Imaginarium. Yep. I definitely want to get that drink before Imaginarium.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
The whiskey. We talked about that whiskey because I told Holly, I love whiskey. And I didn't even know that Louisville is famous for whiskey, really. I didn't know. But now I, of course,
oh,
I know.
Oh, yes. You're coming to the bourbon capital of the world, Kentucky. Yes, you're our state. Yeah, you are
this
coming
is where
to
bourbon
ground zero of the bourbon world. So we will make sure you get great bourbon whiskey here. No problem there.
No. I look forward to it. I mean, bad languages, they might say, okay, you're coming not to the Imaginarium, you're coming to the whiskey capital. But, you know.
It's the best of both worlds, you know.
Yeah.
Guys, and by the way, Holly, what about your voice? What happened?
Oh, it's better. You can hear me today.
Yeah, I was a little bit concerned because...
Yes, when I talked to you yesterday, I sent that message and I was like, I can't talk. You know? Yeah, it was four days of being on set and filming and having to yell and, you know, and play my character and project my voice. And yeah, it went. I was like squeaking by, you know, Monday night. I was squeaking. I was uh-oh.
Yes,
so I was like,
that was rough.
Yesterday
there
I didn't want to talk.
Like Smeagol or Gollum.
My precious. That's exactly what it sounded like. I said Simon a message, and I'm like, my voice is gone, you know.
Yeah. It is true. It was gone, yeah. Oh, too much.
Mad.
Too much. So Holly, where would you like to start this convo? Because I know we want our audience to find out about all the cool stuff Simon does.
I would love to start with your new book. Tell people about your new book that's going to be a worldwide bestseller because you are the most determined, proactive author I think I have ever seen. As far as pushing it and you want to go worldwide and you're going to other countries and you got stuff going here, there, and it's just magnificent. So tell us about it.
Actually, that's quite an interesting story, you know, because actually I would say like my new book is like an old book because, you know, I started writing very early at the age of 15, like 15, 16. And actually, I started writing or working on this concept on Sarania, on this epic fantasy saga, when I was like 17 or 18. And, you know, I was very ambitious, yeah, at a very young age. And so I decided to publish this book. And, I mean, when I was 19, for example, I got my first literary agent. I worked with him like 5 years. And this is, I mean, a few people know, but it's not a very well-known story, that Sarania, it was published yet a few years ago. You know, I was 22 and it was published. And, you know, I always had this dream or maybe this illusion, you know, if you publish your first book, you're going to be famous and you're going to be rich and you're and you're going to live a life. Yes. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. You're going to have a life like Fitzgerald. I mean, but then, guys, I was confronted by the reality of the book market, and let's say I didn't reach the success that I wanted, and then it's also interesting what is success. I mean, I was published by a small publishing house, and I was like the most successful author at this publishing house, and it sold well. I mean, I didn't sell a million copies, but it sold well. But for me, it was like, no, I have to be better than Harry Potter. This was my standard, you know. And I mean, very ambitious and a little bit naive. I mean, I was 23, 24, something like that. And well, then it crushed all down. I mean, I split up, or I separated myself from my publishing house. I fired my agent, and I took a little. Let's say I took a little break from the industry. I mean, I never stopped writing. I worked on a lot of stuff. I got in contact with a producer, who started this project with the animation series. But I was like tired of Sarania and trying to be successful or trying to reach my goals. And I decided to make some life experiences. I left Germany. I went to Chile. And when I got the opportunity to get it published again, I said, well, you know, I'm going to do it again, but this time without pressure. And well, I'm going to be successful. I want to be successful, but without pressure. So I decided, okay, you know, I want to have success, but I also want to enjoy the process. I want to do what I love, and that is what I'm doing now. And now I'm also more relaxed, because when you're very young, I mean, you want, sometimes you want everything at once, and this is not realistic. And I learned that, and this has been a very, well, also painful process, but I learned a lot. So and now I said, okay, but nevertheless, I'm going to work for this, for my baby, for this fantasy saga, because I know there's a lot of competition, obviously, on the book market. And I say, well, you just have to stay positive. You have to be focused on your goal. And I mean, success doesn't come overnight. So you have to work. You have to make all the connections, and you have just work more than the others. And I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. And well, if I hadn't done this, I wouldn't be here, because how did I find the Imaginarium guys? I think I was doing some research about prices, because I mean, that's, I think for me it's part of the job, you know. I mean, for example, interviews, doing promotion, lectures, and also to apply for prizes and something, stuff like that. And I missed all the German prizes because of the date. So, yo, I said, fuck, let's do the international prizes. And this is how I found the Imaginarium. And then I think I sent an email to Holly and I presented myself. Yeah. And, well, I told her like a little bit of my story, and well, that's how I ended up here, and I'm so excited, because I mean, it's going to be my first international event, and I visited some book fairs in Germany a few years ago, some conventions, but it's not the same, because I mean, this is amazing. This is the United States, and this was always my biggest goal, to live and work one day in the United States of America. I think this is for every artist, for every writer, musician. It's like the big goal, and well.
If you make it really big and you get like a movie deal eventually, and you get, so you would consider actually moving here?
Yes, I would say. I mean, I've lived in Italy and I've traveled a lot, but I say I definitely can imagine live in the United States. I mean, the my dream city, it was always Los Angeles, and I don't know, guys, why. Maybe, I don't know, if you like series, I mean, I imagine yes. So actually, I was never into series, but I have like three series, and I don't know if it's coincidence or destiny or call it whatever, but these three series, they had a lot of influence also on me and on my work and also on my dreams. I don't know. And this is 2.5 Men. I mean, you know the series.
Yes. Oh, that's a phenomenal. That's hilarious.
Yeah, 2.5 Men. Then we have Entourage. I don't know if you know the series.
Mm-hmm. I know Entourage.
Yeah, and Californication, which is like my favorite series of all time. Mm. And I mean, they're all set in California, in Los Angeles. So I said, well, I don't know. I want to have this life. I mean, I want to do what I love, and I want to I want to live there where the great artists are, where the culture is. And I mean, I went to the United States twice, to Los Angeles and to Miami, and I enjoyed the people. I enjoyed the, they are smart, they are cool, they are nice, and they are thinking big. And this is what I like about America. I mean, you know, the German people, they are more like, limited. And the Americans, they're thinking big, and this is what I love.
We go bigger. You know, we always say, go big or go home, you know. But I do encourage you.
For better or for worse, yeah.
Think about living in the fine state of Kentucky. Yeah, after you live in L.A. for a while, you're going to be like, oh, I need a break from all these people. Well, you've always got friends here in Kentucky now. Since, you know, we chat every day, so yes.
That's true. What part of Germany are you from, Simon? I was just curious. We had a question in the chat room on that from RG.
Yes. Mira, I was born in, I don't know if you know, but it's called Mönchengladbach. Mönchengladbach, it's a city. I mean, it might be known because of football,
Munich.
Soccer, Borussia Mönchengladbach.
I would say
the most famous city near to Mönchengladbach would be Cologne or Düsseldorf.
Nice.
I've heard of both of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know it?
Yeah, that's.
Do you know the city?
Oh, I was even a fan of the Rhine Fire when they had NFL Europe. They had American-style football over there, and Dusseldorf was where the Rhine Fire were based. So I was a big fan of theirs for a few years, but I still watch the football a lot.
RG in the chat room says to say, we got bourbon and a burgeoning film industry.
We
just got off doing a film, an indie film, and we know a lot of people actually in Kentucky that's got some bigger film projects going, and you know, we did that pilot years ago, and we're still trying, you know. Sometimes it takes years. That's what people get discouraged by, like you were saying. They think, oh, I'm going to be an overnight sensation. I'm going to write this book and get a movie and blah, blah, blah in 1 year. And then it doesn't happen. Yeah. And, you know, you have to stay persistent. And sometimes it takes 5 years, 10 years. But, you know, stay persistent, you know, and you know, it will pay off in the long run.
No, you're right, Holly. I totally agree, because I've heard a sentence once, and this is, I don't know who said it, but he said, like, I became successful overnight after 10 years of work.
Exactly.
This, I remember the sentence, and I think, that's true, because I think also life puts you through tests, because, I mean, you have to work for it, and that's when people sometimes they give up, or they say, well, it didn't work out, or I got this disappointment, and today I'm saying, okay, this is all part of the process, and you have to love this process. You have to stay persistent. As I would say, persistence is the most important thing. And
I agree.
Also, just enjoying the way, because I say, okay, I'm doing what I love, and I get the opportunity to know cool people like you, and I'm going to learn a lot. I think I'm going to meet a lot of people who are working in the industry for years, and I can learn so much. And this is what's important, and not just, of course, stay focused on your goals, but enjoy also the way. And this is like the most important thing, I think.
I like that.
Networking.
Yeah.
Networking is so important, like you were saying, meeting people, you know, and bringing people together, because you don't know where that's going to lead a year down the road, 5 years down the road. You know, that person you met might be your contact to get your foot in the door, you know, to a film industry or to, you know, you just don't know. So networking is extremely important. And with Imaginarium, you know, that's what we've always tried to, you know, tell people, you know, go talk to everybody, you know, network. It is so important, because we bring, you know, game designers are there, the filmmakers are there, actors are there, authors are there, screenwriters are there, you know, artists, you know, editors, publishers, it just goes on and on and on, agents, you know, it's on and on.
Yes.
And it's not always the people that you know directly, but it's the people that they know. It's the even the extended
exactly.
networks
yeah.
as far as that. That's where networking really kind of gets exponential because it's like, you know, yeah, it's who they know. And that's what the dynamic is when you, you know, build up a good network as a creative. It does kind of spread out very wide, very fast. And that's a huge benefit that I think a lot of people overlook at conventions and things like that is the ability to build that kind of network.
Yes, no, that's true, because you also this I think that's also the important thing about convention that maybe some people don't understand, or they ask, or for example, they ask me, okay, why are you going there? I mean, why are you doing this? I said, guys, you don't understand. It's not just about doing lectures or the awards. No, you know, the important people or the people who think like me, they are there. And there you have the possibility to connect. I mean, and of course, there's no guarantee, but I mean, in life, you have no guarantee. So, I mean, you have to just go with the flow and see what happens. And, for example, from my personal experience, I think the best things happen when you are not planning things. So, who knows? Who knows?
It's true.
What is your book about?
Saranya, I mean, it's a big history, but like a short story, it's like high fantasy, so it's like, I would say, if people ask me, it's like a little bit maybe a mix of Lord of the Rings, some elements of Aragon, Narnia, but it's really a typical high fantasy story, but basically it's about two main characters. I have two main characters, and one of them is like a young blacksmith. He's called Ben Ali, and he's quite this ordinary life with his father, and he's very poor. And I would say, and he's like destined to fight a black wizard who is fighting against the continent, the four countries. I mean, it sounds very typical because obviously I was inspired by all the great stories. But I, for example, I decided I wanted to do something differently, and for me, I like these great fantasy stories and also science fiction stories. For example, I love Star Wars and everything. For me, for example, it was always like, okay, we always have a hero, and he doesn't have a father, and then there's the problem with the father, and I didn't want this, for example. So I decided, okay, my main character, he's going to have a father, but he doesn't have a mother, or at least he doesn't know his mother. And this is also, let's say, connected with the whole story, because we have this continent. This is called Saranya. I created this world with a language, with creatures and everything. And like 100 years ago, there was a peace contract between the countries. But now there's this, let's say, this bad boy, this black wizard who is fighting against the continent. And he's destined to fight against him. But the question is why? Because for me, for example, when I create in characters, it has always been important, okay, what are the motives? Why I am doing this? And for example, I love Lord of the Rings and I love Harry Potter, but my problem was always, I love the stories, but my problem was, okay, but I didn't like the bad characters. Or I didn't understand the bad characters. I said, okay, we have Sauron, for example, and we have Lord Voldemort, and they are amazing characters, but they don't have any motives to be bad. I mean, they don't have a history.
Right.
And I wanted to do this differently. So also my, the antagonist is, he has also a very unique history, and there's a motive. There's a motive because he started this war and everything's connected. So it's like a little bit, I would say, an adventure story, an epic fantasy adventure, but it's also a family story. We have all the thing that you know about fantasy. I mean, magic and mysteries, and then I have my second main character, and I love this character. It's a magician, and he's called Sakurak. And he also wants to know, or he's like part of a council of magicians, and this is very inspired by the Council of the Jedi of Star Wars. And so I decided to create a council of the 12 most powerful magicians in Saranya, and he's the youngest member. So, and he got this mission also to find or to confront this dark wizard, because he knows him. They studied together also magic, and they were friends once. And he also he doesn't understand why the other or this wizard started to become dark or bad. And basically, this is the whole story. I mean, it's more complex than this, but I tried to give you a resume.
Yes. That's what I was looking for.
Really cool. I agree with you there, and that's true, because like Voldemort, well, why did he go bad? What happened to him that made him go bad, you know? Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, this was, I was always, I mean, he was just like bad. And I say, okay, of course, I mean, we have good people in this world and we have bad people, but everyone has like dark parts or good parts. And I say, but everyone has motives. I mean, I'm doing something for a reason. And I wanted to understand, I did like interviews with my character before even start with the story. And I tried to investigate, okay, what is the reason? Why does he act like this? And I mean, it's also quite a motivation.
Right. It makes total sense. Daniel, do you have any questions regarding that?
When you're developing that character, where... I know you said that you drew off of a lot of different things, but where did you go personally to develop that character?
Well, I was inspired by stories, of course, but when I also tried to connect my characters with parts of me. I know, for example, my life and my personality, and I know my friends and their personalities, and really, I've heard a lot of stories because I've traveled a lot, and sometimes I remember. I think I was in the hospital. I didn't know. I think I had a fracture. I don't know, but I was talking to a nurse, and we were talking, and I still remember this conversation. I mean, we were talking about love and family relationships and pain and something like that. And this, for example, was the inspiration to create certain motives for my characters. I mean, I don't want to tell because I don't want to tell the story. But this was like, for example, I'm finding my inspiration in the real life. So, and I tried also to give my characters some elements, some parts of me. And so I decided, okay, what are, for example, the motives for my acting? Okay, why I'm doing this? And for example, when I didn't do anything bad, or like, let's say, okay, I didn't steal, I didn't punch anyone in the face. But I mean, of course, we are not perfect. Sometimes we just act stupid, and we're doing certain things that are not good. And then I try to understand myself first. Okay, why did I do this, or why would I do this? What would be my motives? And this helped me a lot to develop my characters, because I'm always saying, for me, the characters are so important. And even if it's not a main character, maybe it's just a character who has just a scene or just appears once, I think you have to make them three-dimensional. That's very important. And this is what I'm trying to do with my characters.
Okay.
Awesome.
Makes
sense.
And you're saying it's set in a fantasy world and everything. What type of fantasy world are you setting it in?
Well, I would compare it with Lord of the Rings. Maybe we have this style, and I mean the typical. Okay, of course we have mountains and rivers and everything, but I would compare the setting maybe with the setting that you know from Lord of the Rings. This is like,
okay.
like from the century 15, 16 of our world, something like this. So a very old world.
Okay.
There's no technology and everything. Very, very classic.
I'll say Stephen loves Lord of the Rings. That's like his jam.
Yeah,
that's my foundation.
Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, guys, this is like, this has been my main inspiration, really, because this is quite a little story, but when I was like 11 or 12, I think this is when the movies, they were became famous and everyone wanted to see the movies, and all my friends at school, they saw the movies, but I didn't see the movies because my mom, she's like a little bit, I don't know, freaky in this. She said she doesn't like monsters and everything. Actually, she hates this. So she said, okay, you know, you're not going to see the movies because, I don't know, you're just 11 and they are not for you. And I was like desperated and like frustrated. And I didn't see the movies in the cinema. So I told my mom, yo, you know what? But at least I want to read the books. Would you give me the books? And she said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to buy you the books, but you're going to read them when you are 12. And I said, what? But I have to wait 7 months? What kind of suggestion is that? And I'm going to buy you the books, and I'm going to put them in a, I don't know, in a corner or something like that. Or she had I don't know how to say it in English. I know my Spanish is better than my English. But let's say she hide them from me. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to find the books and I'm going to read them. So and that the little Simon, yeah, he found the books. And then at night he started reading The Lord of the Rings. Yeah, good night, Mom. Yeah, I'm going to sleep, of course, ha-ha. And then The Shire, The Hobbit, yeah. And this was so amazing. I was so mesmerized. I was so impressed by this world. And then I said, of course, I want to see the movies. And then I had, an uncle who is like one of the most important people in my life. He died 3 years ago. But he always encouraged me, I don't know, to follow my dreams, to do what you want. And he, of course, he saw the movies, and then he, I think in this time we already had DVD, and he bought the movies and we saw the first movie together, and he fell asleep and I just kept watching, and I was so impressed. It was like, I think this was one of the moments who changed my life, because I said, this is just from another planet. This is magic. This is really, it's just amazing, and it stayed in my mind. And then like 2 years later, I think I was 15, when I started writing, all because of Lord of the Rings, because I was in school and I was so bored by, I don't know, physics and Latin and whatever, and French, and so bored that I still remember the day, I took a piece of paper, I talked to my friend, and I said, you know what, I'm so bored from the class and everything, you know what, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a parody, a comedy version of The Lord of the Rings. And he just looked at me and said, what? You're going to do what? I said, I'm going to write a book. And I started writing. I mean, I didn't know anything about writing, anything. I just started writing, I mean, what came to my mind. And then he checked the paper and he said, you know what, at least it seems more interesting than the stuff that we're doing here in class. So, you know what, I'm going to write this book with you. And then we started writing together our first book, which at this time, I think we called it like the Lord of the Bags, or and not the Lord of the Rings, the Lord of the Bags, something like this. And then years later, we decided to write it again, because, well, this is when smartphones and cell phones came up and everything, and my best friend and me were not like fanatic, or because we say it's like a little bit boring what's happening with the society, that everyone is just checking their cell phone and living with their cell phone, and we compared like the cell phone or the iPhone of today with the ring and Lord of the Rings, but it has power over people. And so we decided to call this book, okay, it's going to be The Lord of the Apps, The Lord of the Applications. And then we wrote it again, and I think like 2 years ago in 2019, we published this comedy version. And, well, so, yeah, The Lord of the Rings, I mean, it's going to be always connected with my writing and with my inspiration. And that's about Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to have to get a copy of that.
It's on the way.
You know, I mean, you know about this book, The Lord of Debt, I mean, we have it in German, but I talked to my friend and I said, you know what? I'm going to the United States in July and starting in Louisville. And you know what? We need the synopsis and at least maybe, I don't know, the first chapter, the second chapter in English. So I don't know. I'm going to find an agent or a publisher, who knows. And he said, okay, I'm going to do that. And today he sent me the synopsis and also the first chapter in English. I didn't read it so far, but I have to read it. And well, who knows? This would be amazing. I mean, because I think they're doing also a series on Amazon right now about The Lord of the Rings. And it might be the perfect moment maybe to get an English version of this book because it's hilarious. I mean, I still read it and I'm laughing because it's dark humor, it's black humor, and you guys, if there's an English version one day, you have to read it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, and Harvard Lampoon Harvard Lampoon did Board of the Rings, way back when, and can't remember the exact date, but it's been a few decades since that one was put out, but that was a good parody too, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely funny.
Yeah, I think I read this too. I mean, a few years ago when we started with this, we also read the there are just two or three parodies. At least I know just two or three, but we read them also. And it was also hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So
sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to have to make sure that this one gets translated and brought over, or Holly and I are just going to have to really continue on our Duolingo lessons in German and get it down pat.
I think you should do that. Fantastisch.
Yeah.
Dankeschön.
Yeah, I'm 57 days into
back.
It.
I do write back to Simon sometimes, a little here, a little there. I'll put like Prost or like tonight he said he called in. I was like, fantastisch, you know.
Yes.
I do get some of my German in there.
Prost. This is the most important word, Prost. If you know this word, I mean, I think we're going to be fine. At least. Before,
you said a lot now.
Prost.
Yeah, I raised a glass of bourbon to the actors and crew this weekend when they were at the house, and I did say Prost a few times. So.
Yeah, we're like, Prost. Well, Silvio was here, too. Our friend Silvio that's from Germany was actually here, so Prost!
Prost.
Yes, and RG, sie spricht ein bisschen Deutsch. Yeah, she does speak a little German.
Deutsch,
Do you happen to have a copy of it with you right now?
A copy?
Do you have a copy of it with you right now?
No. Actually, right now I don't have any copies.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
They're all in Germany.
No, they're already on the way to Louisville. My mom sent the books think.
They're on the way to my house.
I was wanting them to read a paragraph in German of it. So.
Oh, that'd have been awesome.
Then I have to tell my mom that she also has to send the German books because, of course, she just sent the English version. But don't worry. I'm going to get you some German copies, and then you can try and read some German. I mean, I can teach you some expressions, and then you can maybe realize some lectures for me in Germany. I mean, you could read from my books.
There you go. Well, we'll have Silvio help us. You know, we'll see. Silvio, read to us here. Read to us.
Ich bin aufgeregt.
Ich bin aufgeregt. Yeah. I mean. Look at you. I mean, I would say two whiskeys more, and you have it. And you have it.
You got it, man.
Yeah. One straight bourbon, and this is it.
We do our little lessons every day.
I talk to guys every now and then on Instagram from Germany, and luckily for me, they know English well enough to where we can
have a conversation.
So I know no German hardly at all.
Well, you're never too old to learn. I know you're 250 years old, but you're never too old to learn, Mr. Dark.
I
know.
I mean, German is difficult, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Daniel writes, he loves Jack the Ripper, and he writes, Jack the Ripper fiction, and among other things. But he also dresses in a top hat and the whole spiel every single day of his life. So, yes. And he runs now a Victorian cigar trolley, which he parks in different various places. People could come in, have him a drink of bourbon or their whiskey and smoke a cigar. Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's neat.
A good cigar.
He's on Instagram. I'll have to send you his Instagram. Yeah.
Yes. Please do that.
Do you like cigars?
Cigars, yes. I mean, actually, I don't smoke a lot, but if I do it, I mean, it has to be a really good cigar. I mean, I don't smoke cigarettes, but cigars sometimes, and, I think I have to do it in Louisville, yeah.
Yes!
Nice.
That's awesome. Me, you, and Daniel can have a drink and smoke a cigar. That is awesome.
Yeah, this is like the perfect scenario.
Yes. Oh, this is gonna be fun.
And talking in German all the time.
Yeah, there you go. We'll teach Daniel some German.
Yes. And we have a good friend of ours, Sylvia Wolf Bush, who's a phenomenal filmmaker, screenwriter, and actor, who is a spotlighted guest at Imaginarium, and he was born in Germany. And
he's
coming. He's
sending him a book here too. So one of those books are for Silvio too. Hmm?
Right.
Very nice.
You told me about your German friend.
Yeah, that's what I said. You said, give him one of the books. So yeah.
Yeah, nice. That's going to be great. Great, great. And, now we've talked about the book a little bit, but let's talk a little bit about, you've mentioned it a couple times, and we mentioned it at the start of the show, but the animated project for children that's going on in the Philippines.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting. Tell us about that and the roots of it, what it is, and where it's at right now.
Yes. Yo, guys, I mean, you remember that we talked about how important it is to make connections and the networking, and I know someone who knows someone. The animation project, this is the proof of that, because, the roots. I think it started like six years ago. I mean, I was just, when I published Sarania for the first time, I found like a female singer in Germany, and I loved her. I mean, she was beautiful, and her voice like an angel. And she was singing like stuff, or the style of her music was like fantasy. I mean, it was German mixed with the language of the elves of Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
so I was so mesmerized by her, and I said, I mean, okay, maybe I was also a little bit naive and young, but I said, I don't know, it would be amazing to work with her. I don't know, maybe I could do a lecture and she might sing, I don't know, or we could write some songs together or whatever. So I did some research, I found her management, and I contacted her manager. And, I sent the book, or two copies of my book, to the manager and for the singer also. And the manager, I don't know, some two or three weeks later, he called me, or she, it was she. And she said, okay, you know what?
I think he dropped. I'll watch for him.
We love Simon.
He will call back. Yeah, this is a long distance call, to say the least, folks. So, I'm sure he'll call back.
From Chile.
Yeah, I even got dropped tonight. My connection even got dropped tonight, so I had to even log back in. But it was so quick and smooth, y'all didn't even notice. But yeah, he's coming back, RG. I'm sure he is. Yeah, it's just a matter of the phone. Yeah, the phone line dropping here. It happens on live connections sometimes, folks. But yeah, what exciting stuff. I mean, yeah, definitely a guy with a lot of life experience. Yeah, I've enjoyed hearing a story about it, especially his evolution from, you know, the young, you know, ready to take on the world version of him as a writer to the more seasoned, yes, the version that's where he is now. That was kind of fun to listen to. And definitely looking forward to the animated series, which I'm dying to hear about. So that was definitely an untimely drop there, to say the least. We left everybody in suspense.
I was just getting into it when it went dead. I was like, what?
Me too. Yeah, I was in suspense. I was like, no. Because, yeah, it's fascinating. And, yeah, even as well, able to pull out a couple. What happened? We got a report here, Holly.
Yes, I do. The computer he was on ran out of credits. You know, it had credits on it somehow where using the call. So I wondered if there's some way he could call my phone, and then I just put it on speakerphone. You remember the night that Michael Williams was having, wasn't it Williams?
Yeah.
That was having
mm-hmm,
so much trouble? Yeah. And then he called my phone. I put it like on a three-way office call. But I'll see. He said I paid. Okay, hold on.
Yeah. So
oh,
he did a Skype connection.
Whoa,
did
he's
a Skype
coming
connection.
Back. He added credits.
He added credits. Credits.
I told him Prost. He's coming back. He is one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. And I literally, Stephen knows, we talked every single day. And he's just so kind, and he's so mm-hmm. full of pep and
energy,
good energy. God, positivity, you know, and mm-hmm. yeah, he just wants to connect with some other creatives, like, you know, we all do.
Yeah.
Like RG and all of us, when we're sitting here the other day, it's like we have people stay at our house all the time. Our house is like a haven for creatives, you know.
It's like a European hostel for creatives.
It truly is. Oh, my God. We get all kinds of creatives. And we get in the coolest conversations ever. And, you know, stuff stems from that. People get energized. People, you know, come up with new ideas and projects, mm-hmm. and we just get into all kinds of things. Yeah, it's interesting. When you get
there
a bunch of creatives around.
The desk, guys.
He just showed up.
He's back.
Guys, I went to the underground. I had a little chat with Lord Voldemort. He's fine and everything back there. And, I'm back, guys. Sorry.
Well, I'm glad they let you come back. I really am.
Yeah, I'm glad you could return.
With a special permission, I mean.
Yeah. Well, you left us
in
suspense.
We were
all right there on the verge of hearing all about the animated project, and you disappeared. We're like, no.
Sorry, guys. you know, guys, what I was talking about, you know, it was when the manager of this thing, she told me, okay, Simon, thank you for the copies of the book. I really liked the book. I loved it, and the singer also. But the problem is you cannot work with her because she's got a contract with, like, a big company, and they don't allow her to work with another people and blah, blah, blah. But I love the book. I love your work, and let's stay in contact, and maybe we can work on something in the future. So, talking about networking, and I said, cool, nice. I mean, let's stay in contact, whatever. You have my number, you can call me. And then 4 months later, she called me and said, Simon, I met a producer, and he's like, he's got this animation project, or let's say a concept for an animation project. And he's a cool guy, but he's very visual, and he isn't able to write a single sentence. So he has a great concept, but he doesn't know how to write a story, for example. And we need stories. I mean, a concept is great, but you also, you need, I mean, episodes, stories, content.
Would you be interested
in writing, or would you be interested in that? And I said, okay, I don't know. Well, send me the concept first. I'll check it, and then I'll get back to you. And they sent me the concept. I loved it. It's really, it's amazing, because it's like about a little girl, and she has the special ability. She can travel between our world and like a magic place. This is called like the Dabba Dibba Dubaland. It's like a magic world of music and dance. And this, this world, this world, it lives by dance and it lives by music. And they always need new, let's say, new music and new dance and talent from Earth to live. I mean, basically, they need talent from our world so they can live. And then we have this, this superhero, not superhero, but this girl, and she has the ability to travel between the worlds, and this is basically what this series is about. And of course, we have a bad guy, an antagonist, who tries to sabotage everything, who fights against the good guys, and I really love the concept. I said, this is pretty cool, and I think the producer, he already wrote like kind of ideas, and I said, but I don't know what he wrote. This is not a screenplay. This is not a short story. This is just, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what it is. I mean, it could be something, but really I have to check it and I have to write a real story about this. And then, well, this manager, she told me, okay, then write something. And I said, okay. And, well, I studied the concept. I wrote like 3 or 4 stories and they loved it. And they said, okay, well, then could you write more stories? And I said, well, of course. I mean, let's see how it goes and when are we going to start the project? And, well, no, Holly talking about that some things might take some time. They told me, no, we just need an investor, and I think we can start next year. Well, and then the thing about the investors is, I mean, this is when I learned for the first time, you know, if you want to make it, in the creative industry, you have to be very patient. Of course, you have to be lucky. You have to work mm-hmm. but patience. Because I think in the last 5 years, every year I was in contact with the producer. We worked. We developed the stories. We developed the concept. And every year he said to me, "No, Simon, this year we are going to start. We have the investor. This is safe." And then it failed. "No, it's safe. This time it's for real." And I said, "Yeah." And then the next year, "No, but this time it's real, because she loves me.
Yeah.
This woman loves me. She has the big millions. She has a lot of millions, and she gave me her hand, and this is like symbolic." Yeah, it's symbolic, but do we have a contract? "No." Yeah, and then I said, "You know what, man? I mean," and I think it was like in 2019, it failed also, and then I told him, "You know what? Please don't call me anymore. You know what? Call me if there is a contract, I don't know, or money or a real invest." Mm-hmm. And then I think it was like Christmas 2019. And it's like a story of a movie, but it was like my personal Christmas present. Then he called me and he said, "No, Simon, you know what? We have the investor. We have our team who is going to work on the Philippines, like on animation, everything. And I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to spend Christmas with them." He was living in Switzerland. And he said, "I'm going to fly to the Philippines right now." And I said, "What?
Nice.
Are you serious?" And then he told me, "Yeah, can you come tomorrow?" And I said, "Look, because I didn't have time, because I was like, I don't know. I don't remember, but I just said, sorry, I mean, we didn't speak in like 5 months, and now you're telling me I should come to the Philippines tomorrow. I mean, give me a month or give me some weeks." And he said, okay, but I don't know. "February, you are going to be on the Philippines." And I said, "Yeah, well, okay." And, well, then I flew to the Philippines in February last year, everything before the pandemic. And, well, I spent an incredible month. Oh yeah, I got to know the team who is working on animation, the composer, and it was quite
nice.
An experience, because it was like magic, because I mean, I still remember the pilot, and I years ago I wrote the story. I mean, it was like Actually, it was kind of a short story, but they converted it into a real screenplay. And then in the Philippines or on the Philippines, they started with the animation. And this was like, wow, I mean, something is happening here. I mean, I'm seeing my words on the big screen. And that is this is just amazing. And well, then, of course, I learned a lot. I developed some concepts. I presented my concepts to the team in Asia, and they have a lot of experience in animation, so they told me, okay, for example, Simon, this doesn't work. I mean, you're still thinking like a novelist. I mean, in a novel, everything is possible. There are no limits, no budget. I mean, you basically you can write whatever you want. But we are doing animation here, so one page, or let's say, I don't know, 1 minute costs like, I don't know, $12,000. So you cannot put like 5 characters on every page, and you cannot invent a lot of stuff, because we are going, if we are going to realize what you're writing, we are going to be poor soon. I said,
you
okay,
gotta
okay,
adjust.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course it was also a really intense experience, but I decided, okay, it's cool also, I mean, for my own personal and creative development. And well, I was basically working on this project the last year, and well, then in December, I think it was like they decided to, I mean, because the budget, we have a budget, but they invested a lot, and well, they didn't sell the series so far. If everything is going well, and I hope so, they are going to sell it this year, and we are going to see it soon on TV. But because of budget reasons, they decided, we have to, I don't know, cut costs. So they decided to fire me.
Oh!
Yeah. And I said, okay, I mean, that's life. I mean, that's also the creative industry. I mean, I have my credits on, like, I think the first 12 or 13 episodes, because I wrote all the stories.
Oh,
and,
no, but you lose your, like, creative right. I mean, it's still yours, but you don't have a lot of say after those episodes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I said, you know, everything happens for a reason. I said, okay, personally, I mean, the good thing is, okay, I saved up some money. I earned well, and this was cool because I could save the money. And I think now's the time to invest in my personal project. I mean, my baby is Sarani and my novels. And of course, I mean, for example, if you present me a cool project and I get to know someone who's working in, I don't know, animation or TV, it would be amazing to work with this person. But I say, okay, the most important thing for me are my novels. So and everything what's connected
right.
with this, okay, might be cool, but it's also, yeah, an experience. And I mean, I learned a lot. I made some money, and well, this was like my first contact with the film industry, and who knows, it might be important in the future.
For
no,
sure.
That's great. And who knows? I mean, like I said, you know, after they make their deal and, you know, maybe if they get a big deal, I mean, who knows, they might bring you back onto the project. And, you know, it's good to leave those
right.
bridges
yes,
up there.
Yes.
I did have a question in the chat room. Have they put up any production stills or anything that shows the look of it? And that's kind of like what I was going to ask you, too. I was curious about the style of animation, so that's kind of folds into that question. But is there anything
that's been posted publicly,
what style? Is it 3D animation? Is it 2D animation? Is it anime style? What are we talking here?
No, it's like 3D. A few years ago, they started, I think, with 2D, but now it's really 3D. And Holly, I'm going to send you the link of there's a website, and you can catch the style of the whole project, and then you can share with the guys so that they get an impression what we're talking about.
Fantastic! There it is.
I got it.
Send it.
Okay. And you can share with
chat
the
room,
guys, and
I think
it's also possible to see some episodes, like the third or fourth episode, so that you can also get an impression of the whole series and of the concept.
Oh man, it's beautiful. The animation's beautiful. The Belly Foo, Miss Belly Foo.
Yeah, no, it's quite a cool concept. And the only thing, I mean, when I saw the concept or when we started work on it, I said, I mean, the producer, I said, okay, he wants like, I don't know, 3 seasons. And I mean, the concept is good, but it's not for 3 seasons. I mean, I always said, okay, the concept is too weak. I mean, with this, you can write maybe, I don't know, 16, 17 stories, but then what? I mean, and this was also, well, when I said, I don't know if this works. No, but well, now the guys, they have to do the job. I mean, we'll see what happens.
So would you be able to like write a series of those books?
Of which book? Of my books?
Of the Belly Foo. Are you going to do like a Belly Foo series?
No, I mean, actually, we discussed this, including the producer said to me, we might come back to you in a few months because, I don't know, for example, we want to realize, like, I don't know, books or an audio book or another project with Miss Belly Foo. And sure, I mean, if they ask me, maybe then, yeah, of course. I mean, for example, if I cannot write a book because that's also a copyright, the name Belly Foo and everything. But for example, if they come back to me and say, would you be able to, I don't know, to write a book or some stories of Miss Belly Foo or whatever, I mean, sure, we could talk about this. So, I mean, this is also still in development.
Looks fantastic. Yeah, Holly just sent me the URL. She posted it, and it looks amazing. Yeah, really nice job.
Cool. It's nice.
Oh,
and,
man.
Folks... Yeah, it's Foo, F-O-O, -entertainment.ch. C as in cat, H as in hat, foo-entertainment.ch. And, yeah, you could see it, too. And it's, wow, I mean, just looks amazing. Yeah.
It's really cool.
How do you spell
if you got children, guys, you're going to love it. Your children, they're going to love it. I mean, it's especially
the grandkids will love it.
They have a witch. Witch named Molly. It's next season. They need a witch named Holly.
Holly.
Yeah.
Get Simon back on this.
Really, I like this character, Molly, because I don't know. I mean, I didn't invent the name, but for example, when we discussed the character of the witch, I said when I was on the Philippines, I said, you know, guys, we have to do something differently because all the witches that I know, they are old and ugly and whatever. We need a sexy witch, like, I don't know, with two colored eyes and something like that. And I don't know, something more modern, you know? And they said, you know what?
Right.
This is a cool idea. I mean, it's not the typical, not the cliche of a witch.
That's awesome. I approve.
Now we got Molly. Now we need a Holly.
Yes.
Great.
Our friend Holly.
Yeah, they give you little critters called Dabamals. Dabamals. They're cool. This is awesome.
The stupid Dabamals. I like the guys. They are like stupid, but I mean, I still like them. They are like the bad guys.
Oh, this is awesome,
you have,
man!
You have to watch an episode. I think on the webpage you can watch 2 or 3 episodes.
Yes, I would definitely be watching it. Well, we have my little granddaughter Raven's coming here in just a couple weeks to stay a week, so we'll have to show it to her because it'd be right up her alley. I mean, she would love this.
Good text on
any
subject too. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right now, and it's just
so
amazing.
I'm so excited
for
you. It's too bad, man. They let it. But, you know, that happens. That happens a lot in show business, especially when authors will, you know, just they want to see their projects produced, and they'll sign over all rights to everything, and then they lose everything. And, yeah, that's unfortunate.
It's a tough call. Yeah,
but,
this is
I mean,
really
hey,
cool.
You do make money, and you get it out there, and, you know, you go from there.
Yeah,
it's
very cool.
And, I mean, it's all it's experience, and who knows? You never know. You know, I don't know. Maybe in 3 years, I'm having a great bourbon whiskey with someone, and he tells me, you know what, man, I'm developing this animation project. I could use a writer who writes some stories, and I'm going to tell him, you know what, man? 3 years ago, I was working on a series, and, you know, this is all, I mean, everything can happen, and this is the magic also of this creative industry.
Well, you kept your bridge, too, and that's something to learn there, and I want to point that out for creatives listening, but the obvious reaction for a lot of folks is to get upset, angry, et cetera, that you, you know, got dropped from, you know, the next season or project, but the way Simon's talking, I mean, he's still got a good connection and good bridge, and so, yeah, I mean, it's, you never know. I mean, it could, you know, they could come right back and talk to him again, so... Yeah, that's a good thing to leave your bridges up in this kind of situation.
Don't ever burn your bridges. That's the thing. You know, you just be. We've talked about that you be as kind and you know, understanding with everybody you work with as you can. You know, if it's called for. I mean, if they step on your toes, you stand up for yourself. Which everybody knows me
of
knows
course,
that's no problem for me. But yeah, you have to stand up for yourself, you know, at certain times. But, you know, you just
right.
be kind to people. And, it, you know, you get more bees with honey. So don't burn your bridges, you know. Be kind to people. And, it'll come back. It'll come back on you tenfold.
Yeah, but this is awesome. Yeah, I've enjoyed getting a look at this tonight. I was curious.
Yeah.
I was curious about this project and finding out what exactly it was, what it looked like, where it's at. But it sounds like, yeah, it's ready to roll out there and looks fantastic. So, yeah, congratulations. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the episode.
Amazing.
We'll cast it to the TV later. We'll watch an episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Tonight.
So what are you working on right now creatively as far as writing? What's, you know, stuff that has not been released yet? What kind of projects are you working on right now?
Yes. Look, actually, right now I'm totally focused on the promotion of Saranya. So because when I published Saranya a few years ago, I realized that at least for me it's very difficult to do two things simultaneously, but right, you know, for example, because if I really promote a book, if I want to do it right, this is a lot of work. This is almost like a full-time job. And writing, on the other hand, it's also a full-time job if you do it right. You know, I mean, when I'm writing, I'm writing. I mean, I'm starting in the morning, I'm finishing in the afternoon. And right now I'm learning so many things also about promotion. And I think for me, it would be impossible to focus on writing right now. So my plan is, I mean, also I have part of the, well, I published the first two novels of Saranya, and the plan is to realize six. I mean, the whole saga, there are going to be six books. And I also have part of the third novel in Germany, because this guy said something, I don't know. I write my manuscripts with hand. I mean, not with a computer. I've always done this, and, well, it's like kind of
ritual.
And I mean, and so I got all the material for the third novel of Saranya in Germany. There are like, I don't, 350 pages yet. And I think I'm going to see the material this year when I'm going to travel to Europe after the United States. And my plan is to start a first draft of the third Saranya novel next year, like the first draft. And... But my focus right now, really, it's on the promotion, because I said, okay, this is for me, like, it's like my big goal, and really, I always wanted to work as a writer, and, well, if I want to do it right, I have to also to do the job right, you know? And
correct.
Well, that's basically what I'm doing right now.
Fantastic. And there's so many opportunities now. As far as like branching out into, like if you would get a film made or whatever, there's so many distribution opportunities with YouTube, with Amazon Prime, with Hulu, with Netflix. You know, there's just so many online distributors. You know, so you don't have to go to like, you know, you don't have to get accepted by a Los Angeles agent or, you know, something like that. There's a lot of things that you can start small. And get your name out there and get your, you know, your vision out there. And then somebody sees it and it catches fire.
Exactly. It is, this is Oh, I totally agree, Holly, because, you know, I mean, you start from the bottom. I mean, you're not
yes.
starting with the biggest team or whatever. And I said, for example, I mean, it has always been a big goal of mine to publish with Random House, you know,
mm-hmm.
in New York. And this
mm-hmm.
is, for me, it's
right.
like the, for me, Random House, this is like the Real Madrid of the literary industry. So, and today I had a conversation with a friend and about this, and I said, you know what? But, you know, do you think a soccer player, he goes to Real Madrid and says, I want to play for you, they are going to laugh at him. You have to play good at a small team, and if you play well, I mean, the big teams, they are going to see you in one moment. This is like logic. So I say, okay, I'm going to do my job. I don't know. I'm going to promote the book. I'm going to present myself. I'm going to make connections. And then, well, everything can happen. And of course, but you have to work for it. I mean, you cannot expect that, just someone comes to you and knocks on your door.
Hands up,
no.
Yeah.
Do your job right, and then we'll see what happens.
Right. I agree. You do have to work for it. You know, your chances of just waking up tomorrow and you putting in zero effort and you have a best-selling novel is, you know, like one in a trillion at this point with
exactly.
all the, you know, all the things on Amazon. So you have to put in persistence. You have to, you know, put in the work. You have to network. You have to, you know, get your vision out there. And as we always tell people, don't put all your eggs in one basket is,
yeah.
you know, you have to find
True.
Different revenue streams while you're trying to get your vision out there, while you're working on your creative endeavors. You have to find other ways to make an income, to make a living
Exactly.
while you're working on those, but you still don't give up. Continue to work on your creative endeavors.
No, true. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is why, for example, I mean, I'm talented with languages. I like languages. And when I got here and when I came to Chile, I started teaching. I taught, for example, English, and I taught Spanish for foreigners, and I taught German. So, and actually I'm still doing some classes online. And so I also have like some safe income, because as you said, I mean, you cannot just,
right.
Do one thing. You have to be flexible. And I say, okay, I mean, I love languages. I'm
mm-hmm.
also, I'm doing translation sometimes. And this is cool because this is like a sure thing, you know. But of course, I'm always focused on my vision, always focused on my creative way. But as you said, I mean, not all the eggs in one basket.
That's it. That's true. That's so true. And I know a lot of people get discouraged because, you know, they want to immediately start making a full income off of their creative endeavor. And that's probably not going to happen. You know, I'm not going to say it isn't, but it's more likely it's not. You have to put in a lot of time and a lot of patience, as you said, you know,
yes.
and years work. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of
persistence
networking,
and everything.
A lot of, you know.
That's
Go ahead.
True. No, persistent and everything. And I think also, I mean, and this is also, I mean, I really like this mentality. I mean, you have to do what you love. And maybe, I mean, of course, it
right.
might be that you're going to be very successful one day. Maybe, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not. And then, but you still have to keep going because it's about what
right.
you're loving. I mean, it's not about the how to say it,
the
but
fame
it's
or the,
all about it's all about the process, about the whole way. And I think I really
mm-hmm.
I like the metaphor of the lion, because the lion, he's like my favorite animal, the lion mentality and everything. And they say
Stephen's favorite animal.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's I love the lion, because really the lion mentality is like a lion. He likes to hunt. He likes the process to hunt. It's not about rewards or prizes, because he still likes to hunt. It's the whole process. So, of course, I mean, everyone wants to get a reward or whatever. And, of course, if your books, if they sell well, amazing. If you, I don't know, if you win an award, amazing. But it's not about this. It's about what you love. And this is writing. This is the whole process. And I think if once you realize that, you have this motivation to give your best every day, because you say, okay, I became successful. Okay, I go on, because there's always another day, always another goal. And if it doesn't work out, okay, then I still go on. Because there are a lot of people, okay, I tried, I don't know, I tried 1 year, I tried 2 years, I'm not a millionaire, so I'm going to quit. No, you have to go on. I mean,
That's true. And a lot of people do quit, and it's unfortunate, because we've lost a lot of really cool creative endeavors, you know, that could have been shared and put out into the world, you know. And even if you touch just a few lives, you know, I always say it makes it all worth it, you know. And if you never become a millionaire, you still got to enjoy life and do what you love, you know.
Exactly. This is really, yep. This is like,
and you gave it your best, you know. You look back and you think, hey, I gave it my best. I gave it my best shot. I did good. And you can be proud of that.
No, this is what it's all about. And there's also like, I really like these quotes and sentences, but there's always something, or someone said like, you cannot beat someone who refuses to give up. And I really put that in my mind, and I said, well, that's true. I mean, if you don't give up, they can beat you, because it's like you always get up. You always get up. I mean, maybe you fall, but you always get up. And that is like, I mean, this is like the mentality that I love.
I like that. I like that a lot. Mhm. Yeah, it's like, knock me down, I'll get back up.
Exactly.
We're coming up on about 3 yep. minutes left in the show, so I want to give you a chance, Simon, to tell people where to find you online to connect with you, website, social media, all that good stuff.
Okay, I would say I'm working on a new webpage right now, who's coming soon, who the title is sarania.com, but it's still in the works. You cannot see anything. So I would recommend Instagram. Might be the most famous platform to find me. On Instagram, like Simon Kletke. I mean, Holly, you know my name.
Yes, I do.
On Instagram, I also have an official page for Sarania, for my books. It's called Sarania Book. It's really easy. I mean, Sarania Book.
Well, Holly, I'll let you ask the final question here before we wrap her up. But I know it's been an awesome night for you, Holly, to finally chat with Simon. So go ahead.
Okay, Simon, what is your thing that you want to do the most when you get to Imaginarium? What's your number one thing at the top of your list?
That's a really good question, really. I mean, this is really a good question. I mean, I'm really excited to all the things that are coming. So, but the most, I would say, I would say just all the creatives that are coming and just enjoying the panels, the discussions. And I think it's really difficult for me to say just one thing. I mean, I'm going to have this bourbon with you guys. We're going to hang out.
Yes.
I'm going to meet a lot of, we have the awards, the party. So, I mean, I love everything.
Lots of fun and lots of networking and good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you've been an awesome guest. You must come back. And I look so forward to meeting you in person. And I know we've only got a few weeks left, and I'm very excited. And I know I'll talk to you tomorrow at some point. But, yes.
as always, Holly.
But it's been so great having
you
on here.
Holly, I have to tell you something. I didn't sleep well, you know. I just...
it's been so fun.
That's going to be amazing.
But yes, we definitely have to have you back. But thank you for coming, and it's been a great time, and we will see you soon, and I will let Daniel take us out of here.
As always, we have brought you another great guest on the Star Chamber tonight. if you did not learn anything except for never give up, this man has showed you that, you know, if you don't give up, there's a lot of things that can come your way. This is Daniel Dart signing out. Until we talk to you next week, have a